You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning. Good morning again. Welcome to this iteration of A Biblical Response. And we do have a biblical response. We're coming up on that in a moment or two. But first, I must, and with great joy, introduce my co-host today. First and foremost, Keith Masters. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Praise God.
Is that on?
Yeah.
You're good.
We can hear you.
I'm
just thinking before we went on the air, I appreciate your commitment to this program. Keith comes up from Delray Beach.
Yeah.
And Anne's from...
Not a commute
from Port
like
St. Lucie, no, but it's still a distance, you know.
Well, Stephanie has one, too.
Stephanie has
Yours
one.
Yours is the longest, though.
She comes in from Vero.
Yeah.
Although today she's in Michigan, and we're going to have
so
her...
So she's got a long drive.
She's still driving to get here.
So I'm going to intro her last because she has an announcement for us. But, Keith, it's good to see you, man.
Well, good to see you. Good to see you, David. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no.
We got a shout out before.
I'm grateful for the brothers and the sisters that do listen. So,
amen.
Yeah, we're very grateful.
It's a great community out there,
amen.
You know, and they're praying for us too. Which, you know, we encourage listeners to pray as we pray for you.
Yes, please.
And before every program, we pray for you, listeners. And one of the things that we are conscious of is that the devil doesn't like. In fact, he hates people that love God. And are doing the things of God. And so we have to keep praying for each other, if for no other reason than for protection.
Amen.
And deliverance from the way the enemy loves to squash opportunities in the faith. Anne Limhoko, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Long time no see since
yesterday.
Been
24 hours. I'm privileged to have Anne as a co-host, as you know, on the Monday program, The Front Line. So...
We welcome our listeners who are listening as well.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah.
And later on, we'll be inviting calls. But right now, I can't invite a call because we have the phone line exclusively set apart for Stephanie Jacobson. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be on in this blistery cold. Is it blistery cold? Blustery cold.
Blustery.
Weather of Michigan. Oh, my goodness. It's freezing up here, but... I guess I'm a true Floridian now.
Amen. So. Amen. And I think if there's an award for people that are coming in from the greatest distance, you would get it today. You know?
Yes, I would. And it's good to be on with y'all.
Stephanie is traveling, visiting family, but we wanted to have her on the air. She has a special event coming up the 2nd of May, I believe. And she wants to talk to you about it and make an invitation to you. So, Stephanie, just go for it.
Thank you, David. First of all, I love my co-host and my producer at Biblical Response, and thank you guys for allowing me to take a few minutes to do this. God has been laying on my heart for a very long time, about 10 years now, to be speaking to men and women who have gone through abortion. And I believe now he's called me to call the healed voices all together, and that is how a Bulletproof Alliance has come into existence. By a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of help from my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are getting ready on May 2nd in Vero Beach to have our first inaugural Bulletproof Alliance event, official event. Mm. And, you know, it says in Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they have conquered by conquered him, which is the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death." And guys, we've talked about this a lot on our show. You know, we've got a lot of things going on right now that are dangerous. But I believe we have the truth of the Word of God. And what is going to happen is that when people start speaking out about those deep, dark, dirty secrets that held them captive for so long, I'm not even talking about abortion. I'm talking about any sin. It actually brings people to listen and to hear what you have to say, because it's like, wait, hear what can be forgiven. How can I be forgiven? Or if they have peace, how can I have that peace if you're a Christian and wondering? But there is a call on our life, and it actually comes from Esther 4:14. I've spoken this on here before. Mm-hmm. It says, "For if you keep silent, or if you do not speak, relief and deliverance will rise from another place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed if you don't speak." So that's the warning. And then, of course, we know the coffee cup scripture of, "For who knows, you may have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this." So I'm excited about what God's doing. This call on May 2nd is to anyone who's had an abortion. I would love for you, if you have walked through abortion recovery and have a healed voice, this is really for you. But I would love to be able to speak to anyone who's had an abortion, and we can talk to you, you know, confidentially. And then if you want to come to this event, you may come and just sit with us, and there'll be other voices there that are, you know, excited about talking about what God has done in their life. I want to read this little thing that'll kind of tell you who Bulletproof is, and then I'm going to let y'all get back to your programming, regularly scheduled programming. Bulletproof Alliance is a God-centered network of women and men who have walked in healing. They may not know what or how to help others through their experiences, but Bulletproof was created to give this demographic community so that they can share their testimonies boldly, whether with one individual, with an entire auditorium, or maybe even around the world. So you get to choose where you share, but you never have to wonder if someone has your back. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit, coupled with the support and encouragement from this strong network, can and will inspire others to speak out and declare freedom from the deep, dark, dirty secret that held them captive for so long. These powerful stories are the bullet to kill the lie and will help to restore individuals, which will restore families, which will change the church, and who knows, may even change the face of this nation. So please join me May 2nd, 2026, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Vero Beach, Florida. And if you want to know how to get a hold of me, you need to email me at Stephanie@bulletprooftruth.org. That's Stephanie@bulletprooftruth.org. And I know that David will have that information that you can put on the website there at WCNO. You can also call 816-820-4262.
And let's mention where he's mentioned in Vero, but that's a pretty big space. Place. Where in specific is it going to be held, Stephanie?
When they decide that they want to talk to me, I can tell them that information. We're kind of keeping it under wraps. Okay. If you decide you want to come, I have an RSVP that will give you all the information on it.
Okay. All right. And so if you're curious, want to follow Stephanie's, go to Stephanie's email that she gave you. If you didn't catch it because you're driving, you can call us and or phone number, and we'll make sure that you have it. Well, gosh, thanks for calling in, and we're looking forward to that event. And we're looking forward.
I'm excited. God's going to do some great things, and I just appreciate you guys giving me a little bit of time this morning to share that out.
Glad to do it. We're glad to bring people involved, get them involved, and get to know more about Bulletproof Alliance. Tremendous ministry. God is growing it. By the way, I got to say, when people say things sometimes, I begin thinking, I wonder how someone heard that. And we've said it before, because you mentioned men and women, and men added to this event. And we know there's a lot of people out there that make no connection between men and abortion, right? Zero connection. Yes. So just to clarify, for those people still scratching their heads, men can't have babies, but they can help make them. And when you have an abortion event, the father is just as much involved as the mother. And there's equal share of emotional and spiritual pain and suffering that goes on the man's side. So that's why Stephanie is opening this up to men and women.
That's right, David. And I just want to tell the listeners as well, this is going to be a time of worship and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not to come and beat you down. We're going to have praise and worship, and my brother's actually going to be there in the afternoon to do some acoustic praise with me, and we're going to lead you guys. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you guys into a time of just sweetness with Him. This isn't about, you know, it is about education and more information, but it's really about us as a community getting together and understanding that this is a forgivable sin at the foot of the cross, and we are going to enjoy together the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll be there with my wife. We're looking forward to it. I hope other people will be led by the Spirit to come. Stephanie, thanks for sharing that. Enjoy your Michigan on the Lake experience.
Thank you.
We want pictures, okay?
All right, I'll be back there in the warm weather soon.
Okay, God
bless.
See
you, Stephanie.
Take care.
Bye-bye, guys.
Godspeed.
Wow, that's great. We're so thankful that she's a part of the team, and what a tremendous ministry. Wow. Anyway, shifting tracks, what is in the news that we're going to be looking at today? Well, there's a specific news item, but there's a larger issue that it points to that we're going to be really diving deep into. Then in the news recently, City of Houston, Texas is in a little trouble with their governor, and here's why. They want to be a sanctuary city. And we're going to be talking, Lord, they're going to be diving deep about the whole onerous issue of sanctuary cities in America. But in what happened is they passed an ordinance for the city of Houston around the early part of this month that restricts how local police interact with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. And this ordinance, once it was passed, immediately drew a response from Governor Greg Abbott and the state and the Attorney General.
Yep.
Because it flies in the face of a state law that was passed in 2017, I believe.
Yeah.
That disallows or makes it illegal to have a sanctuary city. Excuse me.
So the city of Houston is not supposed to be able to adopt, enforce, or endorse a policy that prohibits or materially limits the enforcement of federal immigration laws.
Exactly right. So, and that's based on the state law. And that was passed in 2017. It was Senate Bill 4. And it basically said it's a sanctuary cities ban that mandates local law enforcement agencies and campus police to comply with federal immigration detainers. And the law permits officers to question the immigration status of individuals during lawful detention and threatens to remove from office, fine, or jail officials who fail to comply. And so that's essentially the state law that this ordinance in Houston is violating. And so the state issued a demand that the ordinance be repealed.
Yep.
And as far as I know, I don't believe it has been, but they have been given a deadline, which was extended to actually between tomorrow and Thursday to comply with this.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know how they're going to do that. But here's the deal. If they fail to comply and they leave the ordinance intact, the state can withhold up to $110 million in public safety grants to the city, which includes funding for police and fire departments. And so that's
a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And, you know, the city council has admitted that this would put a serious crimp in their ability to police, mm-hmm. you know, properly Houston and maintain public safety. But it's the state's right to do that. There is a law. Now, we're going to talk, and that's what got us moving on looking at the sanctuary city issue, which has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's in the blue states, very Democratic states.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is a red state.
I know, yeah. But there are
very
blue cities.
Blue cities yeah. inside
there
of
are
them.
Blue right, cities right. and red states, too.
Defying the laws of that state government.
Yep.
Defying the laws, and I think that's what we need to get across. Defying the laws of the state government.
That's a right. good point, Keith.
But here's the thing: is it's characteristic of left leaning states and the cities that are along those lines to defy the Constitution at every level they can.
Right.
When the laws do not mm-hmm. comply with their desire, their narrative, and so constantly. And here's the thing. The Constitution is the foundational resource to both build and understand law
right.
in the nation, the United States of
Absolutely.
America.
Absolutely, yep.
And so, and I'm going to get to a part of the Constitution in just a minute,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to look, what, as far as sanctuary city, what is the essential elements that make a city a sanctuary city? And, of course, initially, sanctuary city has to pass ordinances, local ordinances that comply with the sanctuary city requirements, and they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's mostly sanctuary cities are created to impede and inhibit immigration enforcement. That's the primary reason why they exist, and the policies that they pass in their ordinances point just to that. So, the key elements that shape and form sanctuary city policies all over the nation are these. One, they limit cooperation with federal immigration. If ICE puts out detainer requests that if local police run into people that are illegal, that they are allowed to detain them. In fact, there's hope that they would detain them. But sanctuary city law or rules say that the police will not comply with that detainer request. They also will not share information with federal law enforcement concerning people they know to be illegals. Also, they deny access to local and county jails to ICE agents, so they can't go in and apprehend illegal aliens. There's also in Sanctuary City the policies that prohibit inquiries, that prohibit city employees, including police officers, from asking about the immigration status of any of the residents.
Mm-hmm.
But this extends to also victims of crime or witnesses of crimes, whether they be illegal or not. They offer city-issued identification cards and or driver's licenses, allowing residents to access services regardless of legal status. And we already know it's been reported several times in the news about illegal aliens in cities that have driver's licenses and even have been allowed to vote in local elections. So those are the essential elements. There are more, but I think that kind of defines that. Now, those who are proponents of sanctuary cities cite the 10th Amendment of the Constitution as being support for the creation of the sanctuary city.
Can I make one clarification, Dave?
Yeah.
There's sanctuary cities, but then there's also cities that are not officially labeled sanctuary cities. Houston's one of them, but they have sanctuary policies. I just
sanctuary,
wanted to
right.
make that
Thank you.
That distinction.
But ultimately, come to the same heading.
Yes.
Their intention is the same.
Yes.
So what they have done is they've taken the 10th Amendment to the Constitution as the legal foundation for establishing sanctuary city. So let's look at that just a moment, because this is very important, how that's interpreted. Here is the basic content language. It's very short,
mm-hmm.
of the 10th Amendment. It says, first of all, the synthesis is the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution states, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And this was ratified in 1791. But what that basically was intended is so that the federal government would not come into a state or a city and commandeer the officials.
That was the intent of it.
That was the intent of it. Not commandeer the officials, including police, fire, all first responders, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was the intent of it. So that's the basis. However, if you just paid attention to what I read, you will then realize that the ICE, the Immigration and Customs people, are not coming in to commandeer the local authorities. They are hoping for cooperation.
To work together.
To work together. But federal law does give federal agencies who have a legal right to be in a city or a state to enforce federal law where there has been an infraction of that law, and illegal immigration is an infraction of federal law, is they have the right to come in and to apprehend anyone who is breaking that law. And they also can arrest those who obstruct their ability to enforce the law. That is not a restriction of the 10th Amendment. They have the legal right to do it. It's just
they twisted how they want to use amendment to their advantage, you know?
Well, the left loves to put enough truth into something to make people who don't ask questions, which a lot of people don't ask questions. They don't say, well, I wonder really what it does say. No, they go with what people say. They believe what people say. And so they believe the sanctuary cities are constitutionally authorized, and they're not. So here is the basic problem with the whole issue of a sanctuary city, why we are digging down deep into this today, using the Houston issue as a hook to get deeper in that. So having said that, I've kind of said my piece for the most part, but I'm going to pass this on, I think, to Ann, who's going to kind of dig a little deeper with us.
And should we invite callers as well? Don't you think
it's a good time? Yeah,
Even if they want to call now.
Before the break. But if you want to call in, you may have a thought or a comment. 772-221-1100 is the number. 772-221-1100. We'll give you a chance to briefly express your point, and then we'll thank you for your call and move on.
We want anybody to call if they disagree or if they
agree.
We just want to hear. Agree
or disagree, sure.
Yeah. I was just doing some research because I'm like, how many sanctuary cities are there, or cities not officially labeled sanctuary cities but have sanctuary policies? And I really I saw on my research that in August of last year, the Justice Department actually published a list of states, cities, and counties that have policies, laws, or regulations, basically, that impede enforcement of federal immigration laws. And I want to go through them. There are, I believe, 13 states. Thank God we don't live in it, in one of them.
Amen.
But I lived in one of them most of my life.
You did.
California.
Yeah.
These are not all a surprise, though. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, D.C., Illinois. That's where I lived. Minnesota, not a surprise. Nevada, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and the state of Washington. And then there's four counties, and I also lived in that county in Chicago. Why do you think I moved to the free state of Florida? Baltimore County, Maryland. Cook County, Illinois. That's where I lived for so long. San Diego County, California. And San Francisco County, California. That's not a surprise, right, guys?
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all. And then if you want to go into cities, do you want me to go over them? I think it's just very interesting. I find this very interesting. We got Albuquerque, New Mexico, Berkeley, California, Boston, Massachusetts, Chicago, Illinois. These are all the big cities.
Yes.
And some of these are big cities within red states, like Houston is a blue city within a red state. Because as we know, if we look at an electoral map, you'll see the cities most times are congregated with universities, and they tend to be more blue and Democrat. Okay.
Huh. That's good because it answers. I'm a little surprised about Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mm. I'm a little surprised, and you just brought that up. It's where the teaching is and the college.
Yeah. Is there going a big school there?
Maybe the University of
New Mexico. I don't know. It must be because it's the biggest state.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know specifically, but that's what I would think.
And that makes our point that education has gone to brainwash our kids.
And that's how they're moving it to the left.
And they are. And it makes sense to get the young folks, the next generation.
More importantly is that they're keeping them away from the Word of God.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Sorry.
No. Yeah. Then we got Denver, Colorado, East Lansing, Michigan. There's a big Michigan college there. Mm-hmm. Hoboken, New Jersey. Keith, you know that? Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hoboken.
I know you're
Hoboken.
Okay, Hoboken.
Yes, Hoboken.
Jersey City, L.A., New Orleans, New York City, Newark, Paterson, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Portland, Rochester, New York, Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco City. So I just thought that was very interesting that there are that many, 13 states, 4 counties, and 18 cities. But that's as of August 2025. That could change.
Well, so. You know, it's I refer to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, and it reads, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Mm. And this is just an explanation. This is the word of God, and what it's a powerful expression, warning against the reversal of moral standards where people call evil good and good evil. Mm. And it describes a societal breakdown often interpreted as the end times or a period of chaos. And that's what this is causing. It's causing a lot of chaos and a lot of disruption in this country.
Yeah, because they don't want to fund Department of Homeland Security because of ICE.
Right.
And that had created chaos in their air system and just all over.
And, you know, I'm wondering how many of these people, how many of the left that are resisting the ICE and the immigration, do they think or do they believe in their hearts that it's good to protect these people and that's their entry point into heaven? I'm wondering if that's a belief that they might have because they're mistaken and because they don't know the word of God.
Yeah.
And if they think that they're working towards good and that because it's a person who God created in his image, that's their entry point going into the gates of heaven. But they don't understand that they're acting against the word of God.
Yeah, because there is legal immigration.
There's legal immigration.
Versus illegal immigration. We got to make that distinction.
And they're causing chaos.
Mm-hmm.
They're causing chaos against the government of this nation.
Yeah.
And who is chaos? The identity of chaos is the enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy. It's the devil.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's a spirit, because we live in the spirit.
Yeah.
So it is the devil, right? The devil is the enemy to the children of God. And some people who might not understand that are being controlled by the enemy without their realization of knowing that they're being controlled by the enemy.
And one of the consistent signs that the enemy's involved in these events is that when we see, and this is consistent, when Minnesota probably was the best case of this, is that federal agencies go in to legally enforce federal law and round up illegal aliens. And the populace has been incensed against that. The narrative that they have been taught, which is in error, of course, it's erroneous, they think it comes under the heading of justified civil disobedience.
Mm-mm.
But it's actually illegal because they are joining their state maybe or their city and all those enforcement agencies of the municipality that are also agreeing with the sanctuary city policy, they're obstructing legal
federal law.
Yes. And what I'm amazed is there haven't been more arrests and prosecutions.
Yeah.
And I would also say how it's horrible when people die.
Absolutely.
We don't like that. And yet in every case, when people are trying to run over federal officers or otherwise cause injury to them, And you yourself, if you were the recipient of that kind of treatment and you had the ability to defend yourself, you would do it.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. It's sad that people get shot and killed.
Absolutely.
But we have to understand that law enforcement is trained in the course of doing their job to protect themselves when they become the object of anger and with attempts to harm them with the potential intent of killing them.
Yeah.
And so it's a natural outcome, sad as it is.
You know, this is happening everywhere. As of April 2026, the Department of Justice, so that's our federal Department of Justice, has filed at least 15 civil cases against cities and states. That seems like a little low, or no?
Say that again, Ann.
So the Department of Justice, as of just this month, has filed at least 15 civil cases against cities and states alleging that their sanctuary policies obstruct federal law. And we're looking at the big cities again, New York, LA, Chicago.
Right. But look at the judges that you're going to have in these blue
cities.
You're
another,
going to have blue judges as well.
That's another concern. Well, yeah.
The lawfare that's being conducted.
Right.
All it does is it slows down the process of ultimately constitutional justification that lands at the desk of the Supreme Court.
Right. But it's a process on that. And that's what they intend to do. They intend to just draw it out. And I'm going to go with Isaiah 5:20 again.
Okay.
Because it's the same premise. And you brought up the state of California in the blue as a blue state and the anarchy and the chaos that they're causing.
Yeah.
And what is the law that they're trying to establish now?
Mm-hmm.
With the fraud, if you're a reporter and you're discovering fraud,
there's a bill before the California legislature.
They're trying to pass this bill.
Yes,
this law
just introduced. Yes.
Just introduced, and it's called the Nick Shirley Law. And what it says is that if you are a reporter and you start investigating fraud in the state of California, you are going to be arrested.
Stop Nick Shirley Act.
Stop Nick Shirley Act. If you are investigating fraud, you are going to be arrested. I mean, this is such a Isaiah 5:20. People that are calling
it's backwards.
Good, people that are calling good evil and calling evil good.
It's backwards.
And this is now. Grasp this right now. Grasp this.
Yeah.
Because the word of God, this was written in the book of Isaiah 3,000 years ago, right?
Yeah.
3,000 years ago.
Very prophetic.
Yep. Very prophetic.
Yep.
The book of Isaiah was written 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, 900 years before the birth of Christ. And this is what it says. And this is why we know that the word of God is timeless. It goes on. And if you go into the book of Ecclesiastes, and that tells you that there is nothing new in the world today.
Yep.
There is
new.
Nothing new.
Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly right, Keith.
Okay. So for people, and this is the church that we're talking to right now, because the church has to hopefully understand.
Discern. Yes.
Right. Thank you. That's the word.
Yes.
Where's the discernment? To understand that if you're part of the church, you're to be voting, and we've brought this out before, to be voting in the spirit, and we're saying, we're talking about this. This is so important for this year because of the midterms and where our hearts are.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
And where our hearts are. So we're speaking about this so that there's knowledge of what's going on. And not everybody reads the Word of God, but the Word of God is your shield.
They have to be reading
the Word
of God.
They have to be reading the Word of God.
I don't want to break in, but we need to take a break. So,
okay.
But I don't want to interrupt your commentary.
It's too late for that, David. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
be right back.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response, and we're talking about the Sanctuary City issue, and we've got some legal stuff, the constitutional things and scriptural issues that impact on that.
Yeah.
You may want to call 772-221-1100 is the number to call, 772-221-1100. Back to Keith. You were saying something before we took the break.
Yeah, well, where were we? Yeah, so we're talking about the chaos that is being caused by the blue cities and the blue states against the government.
Yeah. If they're not allowing their local law enforcement to cooperate with federal authorities doing lawful things. Anyway, go ahead.
And it's because this is about the safety and the welfare of our children and our children's children for the future to come. And to live in peace and to live by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on right now is that it's trying to be changed through discretion, through the bills that they're trying to promote and change in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't fit to their agenda, then they're trying to amend the Constitution through those bills. And how bad is it in the state of California that if you are investigating corruption, if you are investigating fraud in the state of California, they are going to arrest you. And they're going
if that bill passes.
If that bill passes.
Yeah.
But to even bring that bill
I know, it makes no sense. It's like what
rioting.
You said.
Are you serious?
I know.
This is America and this is what we're saying?
I know. That's why Christians need to discern.
That's they why really Christians need to speak up.
Yeah, and that's why we're
because
speaking
they're
up
they're not.
Today. Yeah.
They are not.
Yeah,
they need to speak up.
Go ahead. Whoops, nope.
Well, we lost
apparently not. We thought the phone had rung. We had a caller, but apparently not.
Anyway, but Keith, yeah.
Proverbs 29:22.
Mm-hmm.
An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. They don't realize what they're doing. They are not in the know. Once I was blind, but now I see.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Lord. We know the goodness and the righteousness of the Lord, of Jesus. So they are trying to, in effect, change the culture of this country. And this is, look what happened to Charlie Kirk, right? Because he was trying to protect the Constitution.
Yeah.
He was trying to protect the Constitution.
And he was engaging in open dialogue.
Open dialogue.
You know what I mean?
With Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. His Lord and Savior.
As his Lord. And right. His Lord and Savior.
Let me see if this is actually a call, though. 1 second.
Yes.
Nope.
I don't know why.
I don't know why it's happening.
Somebody,
sorry, listeners.
Somebody, yeah, sorry.
It's one of the regular technology issues we have here.
But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And I just got this in the mail. It's amazing. It's the Constitution of the United States. Okay. And it's from Charlie Kirk. And it's from Turning Point USA. And it says, at Turning Point USA, we recognize America's founding principles and the rights inscribed in the U.S. Constitution are as relevant today as ever.
Absolutely.
And must be taught to all generations.
Absolutely.
They're trying to change it so that the generations behind us do not understand the original Constitution.
That's why we always
from
talk.
Our founding fathers.
We always talk on this program about how our country was founded.
Right, right. So somebody's trying to get through, and I think they're going to do it. Yep.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Pastor David and Ann and Keith. And I just wanted to say thank you for, again, stepping in with the biblical response. Personally, I've actually seen something like that in a very liberal state of Massachusetts. I went to Bible college in Lenox, Mass, which back in the day, there was a real consciousness of the importance of respecting the church. And most recently, I was back and visiting with my family, and there were rainbow flags in the courtyards of the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole idea of the, you know, opinions of those that were feeling that they have their own interpretation of right and wrong, and how in trying to even say that our documents, you know, are the ones that have justified that idea. But like Keith was talking about, you know, I was thinking about we're in the day of judges when everybody's doing right what's in their own eyes.
Yeah.
So thank you for showing that the line is being drawn in the sand more and more for us of the believers and churches that we really got to take the stand.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for calling in, Marie.
Love you all.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Oh, we appreciate that. And, yeah, you know, I just as a segue, when we're talking about in America, the resistance to law, the established constitutional foundations of our law by the blue cities and states, there's a parallel, and that is in the church itself. There are denominations.
We can do a whole program on that, actually.
We do a whole program on how there are many churches that have to go against God's law by supporting, you know, the sin of the culture.
And it's not to say, she talked about the pride flag, right?
Is right. What
she said. We love people who walk in that lifestyle. We don't love their sin enough to let them go to hell because of that lifestyle.
Amen.
We love them and we welcome them into the church, but
Amen.
we will not distort the word of God that clearly states that that is sinful.
No, and
lifestyle.
That's biblical, is to love the sinner.
It is in Romans, it's Leviticus.
Sin.
So I just wanted to distinguish that because we're not haters of those people, you know?
No, when I've had a chance to talk to people, the gay folk and other folk, but their opinion is if we won't accept their lifestyle, we hate them.
Mm.
I mean, there's no in between, there's no flex. And of course, I'd say that's not true. You know, God loves you, I love you. But I'm also concerned for the state of your immortal soul if you don't give your life to Christ, which is what the Bible says we need to do for that eternity to happen for us, eternity with God, not with the devil.
Mm. Yeah.
Book of Romans, right?
Right,
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by preaching.
Amen.
Right?
The word of God, yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's our responsibility to share the word of God because God promises eternal damnation to those who don't believe him.
Yeah.
And we are there to try. We are there to try and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for our sins.
Yeah.
And our heart really is now, again, on the focus of our program, as it always is.
Yeah.
No matter what the news issue is.
Yeah.
No matter where we go in depth on it in the scriptures. It's concern for the people.
Absolutely.
Concern for the lost.
Yes.
Who are following worldly wisdom and not the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
That's our heart, where our heart is.
I feel like a lot of people go against ICE and these policies just to stick it to Trump. They just don't like Trump, so they're going to do anything that is against him, and it's created this chaos. It's created such chaos, and as Keith said, chaos is spirit of chaos.
Spirit of chaos is from the devil, right? It's from the devil,
and it's just. And as Christians, really discern and look at if what you know. You don't even have to look at Trump. Look at what he's following, federal law. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, right. So when
to keep law and order,
right? So when all of the immigrants came in, they're not following the laws.
Mm-hmm.
They're breaking the laws of the Constitution and the United States. They're allowing all of these illegal immigrants, because they are illegal, they're just crossing the line, and they're receiving funds from taxpayers. They're receiving money that other people are putting in. So it's their emotions and their feelings for where their money is going, not what the people who are in government saying, oh, we're going to take that money from them and give it to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So and the checkbox here is that it's like a 90% for the immigration to be stopped, mm-hmm. and 10% for it to not be stopped. And there's still, it doesn't matter, in the blue states, they're not in agreement with the majority vote. They're not, and they're trying to trying to put their vote into effect, regardless of what the majority is saying. It's about the power.
They're getting the most amount of publicity because they're louder. But I do believe, I think this is what you're trying
to say.
They're
very loud.
That they're the minority. The majority of this country actually want the illegal behavior to stop.
Right.
And to support the federal government and what they're doing.
Right.
So it's just because they're louder, it makes the news and then it dominates the headlines. But truly, we have used scripture here to state why we believe that what's happening with the federal government and what the president is doing is following the law and the Constitution.
I'm still at a loss for this thing they're trying to pass in California.
I know. You keep talking about that.
I am.
Well, look at that.
I mean, how can we not be?
I know.
True, but it's not unexpected, though. Especially California seems to be the canary in the coal mine.
But how far will they try and go? You're trying to undercut. You're trying to cover. You're trying to undercut.
I
can't spit it out right now. Yeah. You're trying to uncover corruption, mm-hmm. and they're telling you you're wrong. It's a problem.
That's why they have a governor race, that people there who are from California who could still vote there need to vote a good governor in there, because that state has gone so left.
So,
but there's hope.
But then why can't the church understand mm-hmm. what side is the evil side here? I'm not understanding that.
Let me, if I may respond to that. I've kind of touched on this issue before in some of our programs. Those of us in this room, we're all born again believers.
Amen.
Right? Walking in the spirit for myself 50 years. But, you know, just to say, we all have had a wonderful several decades or whatever with the Lord, and growing and studying the Word and all that, and our fellowship with like believers and being, iron sharpens iron, all
Amen.
That. But to be honest, and if you're listening and you're offended by this, and maybe you ought to ask God if your offense is from the Spirit, because I'm telling the truth. But here's the thing. There's a lot of people who claim to be Christian that have not been taught and preached at from the pulpit about these things that we know are true. There's a lot of churches, denominations, and I used to be in one, that do not teach their leaders, by that I mean mostly pastors, that the Bible is the authoritative word of God.
Absolutely.
They just don't do it. And so I want to make that clear.
And they make up a religion and call it Christianity.
They make up a religion and call it Christianity, and they're playing church.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but that is the truth.
Absolutely.
And if you compare what they themselves say on their websites, think of any mainline church today, they will tell you in what they believe that they do not believe.
Mm.
And so we, as people who we are, we need to add to our prayers. And listener, you're tracking along with me, and if you're grieving like we are here about the issue, we got to pray for people in the church to have their hearts and minds opened by the Spirit of God to see what is actually true, and to look through that obfuscating narrative that their leaders have been force-feeding them for a long time.
That's why we don't go to any leader. We go to the Word of God.
Amen.
And, you know, back in the 1800s, I don't want to knock a certain religion, but they tried to keep the Word of God from the common people so that you can listen to them and not go to the Word of God directly. This is why it's called a biblical response.
Amen.
That's the final authority. There's nothing that we will say on here that we believe goes against the Word of God, because the Word of God is the final authority. And He is the Word, John 1.
Amen.
He's Word in the flesh.
Amen.
So,
and this is exactly what's going on in this country right now. Proverbs 20:28, verse 2. When a country is rebellious, which is what's going on with the chaos within these states and within these cities,
yep,
from the federal law, it says, when a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. And
amen.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good verse.
Yeah, Proverbs 28, verse 2. And that's exactly what President Trump is trying to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting him on a pedestal, but this is who President Trump is.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone who maintains order. He tries to keep the laws into effect that were written, mm-hmm, from our Constitution.
Yeah.
And the people that are trying, yeah, to change those laws,
yeah,
are the disruptors and the causing chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, just we talked about a while back in one of the programs, previous programs, we were talking about I was talking about the movie, The Transformers,
mm-hmm,
and how they all.
I remember. Yeah, those toys.
I remember. And they're going after the AllSpark, and the AllSpark gives life. The Decepticons, who look just like the bad guys, look just like the good guys.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they're called Decepticons. And those Decepticons, mm, are the same people as you and I, but it's the spirit that it lays within, mm, us.
James Tallarico is a Decepticon.
James Tallarico, yeah, is a Decepticon.
Because he professes to be a Christian.
And he's not.
But does not use the Bible as his final authority. He actually preaches and supports Scripture. I'm sorry, he supports policies that are against Scripture.
Right, right.
Clearly.
Right.
So that's a Decepticon.
That's a Decepticon.
And that's a sheep.
He's using, right,
a wolf
deception.
In sheep's clothing.
A wolf in sheep's
and
clothing.
And that's why we need to be discerning.
That's why we need to be.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to be knowledgeable in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
That's why
Keith's
we need
got,
to.
Like, I think three Bibles laying on the table here. I love it. and his notebook. That's what we need to be full of the Word of God. And when we put that word into us, it's doing the work. It's the Word of God.
It's, amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We are led
it's
by the Spirit.
It's separating the truth
we
from
are
the
led
false.
By the Spirit. Yeah. And there's no better feeling in the world.
Amen. And I'm if people
we should have a logo with like a Bible or something.
I'll work on that.
No, I'm serious. Like,
well,
biblical,
you know,
response with
graphic
the Bible.
Graphic arts is my background.
Yes.
It's one of my backgrounds. So, yeah, I'll work on something. But I'm just, you know, like I said, we've got to pray for people, Christians, who are not really listening to the Lord. They're listening to other people, wisdom of the world, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But get into the Word.
Yes, please.
I pray that more and more people would get into the Word of God with the intent of being led by the Spirit. And frankly, when things are going on around you, and if you don't, if you really want to know what God says about it, go to the Word. That's, again, the basis of this program. And it's our ongoing encouragement to you as a listener.
Yes.
You don't even take our word for it. The end of the program, if you've made notes and you don't agree with us, go to the Word and look it up.
Yes, please.
Proverbs 28, verse 5. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. That's powerful. And that applies to everything.
And we're just talking about that.
We just talked about that.
To seek the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the ultimate expectation. You know, we're as believers, the Word of God commands us to go and seek God's will.
Amen.
And in the Word and in prayer.
That our lives are based on what we seek. Like, even before we plan this program, we seek your will in what to talk about.
Right. Amen.
What I do for a living, you know, is because I've sought the Lord who's told me to walk in this direction.
Yeah.
We have to do that in our lives.
Book of Jeremiah, seek me with all your heart and then you will find me.
Yes.
Amen.
Right? So,
amen. Yeah.
Right. Where we think that we're seeking the Lord and we're just, you know, I'm not going to go there.
maybe next week. Keith.
Maybe next week.
Let's put
week.
A little suspense in for the next program.
Yeah, but no, Jeremiah, right? Seek me with all your heart. You know, just the chaos that goes on and the agenda from the blue cities, where we started with this, the blue cities and the blue states that are they're causing chaos within the system. And upsetting the apple cart, but upsetting, trying to upset the laws of this nation.
Amen.
And trying to change them without documentation.
Did you guys know that there's a current movement going on called America Reads the Bible? Okay, yes. From April 18th to April 25th, there's certain people reading the Bible.
24 hours.
Our president is going to be reading today between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our president.
Praise God.
Do you know what that's doing praise in the spiritual? God. Our Speaker Amen. Of the House has read, and I just...
This is so
encouraging.
It is so encouraging. So the president of the United States is going to be reading the Word of God to the nation.
Yep.
Okay. At what time today?
From 6 to 7 p.m. for a whole hour.
The question that usually arises that President Trump is not saved, he's not a Christian, there's a lot of that banter that goes on, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that banter that goes on. It's not a question of whether he's saved or whether he believes. He's reading the Word of God. He's seeking the Word of God for this nation is what he's doing. You can't hate him as a brother or a sister in Christ. How could you hate a president who is reading the Word of God and sharing it with this nation?
I'm reading over the AmericaReadsTheBible.com website, and it's what this movement is. They label it as a sacred opportunity to call our nation back to its spiritual foundations.
Oh, amen.
And we know the Lord has called this show to be birthed during that time because the Lord is calling people to wake up. And I'm going to be in D.C. because I'm going to join when President Trump rededicates the nation. And I'm going to be there. But this is what's happening. There's a public continuous reading of the entire Bible in our nation's capital. And these are all national leaders, not only from government, but all spheres of influence.
Amen. Time is almost up. And gosh, it just went by so quick.
This is a fast hour.
I would feel in my heart that I would like one of you two to pray for our nation based on what we've been talking about. Would you do that, brother?
Sure, sure.
Fingers are pointing at you.
They can't see that. And pointed at me as well.
Well, he's got... you got it,
Keith. We've got about 2 minutes to pray.
You got it, brother.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for this program, dear Lord, to share your wisdom and to share your words, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is in each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you. We glorify you. We hope to glorify you in all that we do and say, mm-hmm. be a reflection of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
And we pray, Father God, for the ears to hear, for eyes to see, for the hearts to be opened, dear Lord, for your salvation, if they are not saved, Lord, to look for you to be saved by your Son, Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, Lord, they are saved. And we pray, Father God, for your grace to pour out among the nation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. You know, to our listeners, and, you know, we do invite you to call when we're on the air.
Yeah.
There's no time for any more calls. But you can email a comment if you want us to know what you're thinking about a particular topic.
Yes.
And that's WCNO at WCNO.com. Again, WCNO at WCNO.com. And you can just put, you know, for a biblical response program in the subject line and then, you know, share your thoughts with us. We'd like to know what's on your mind and heart. And
can I just say really?
Yeah.
You could go to AmericaReadsTheBible.com and you could actually watch live stream the leaders reading the Bible and join in because this is not only just a reading, but it's to support a movement to wake up this country back to God.
Amen.
So AmericaReadsTheBible.com.
Well, I tell you, I am hopeful. Yeah. I've been hopeful for America for a while.
I am too. That's why. Yeah, I will not lose hope.
I began praying in earnest in 2020 after that, the election debacle.
Yeah.
And really God said, you got to pray for this. I want you to pray for this nation.
Yes.
I want to restore this nation, but people have to want it. People have to take ownership over that. So
and we have to stand
I got
up.
Serious about
yes,
it.
Yes.
And I pray for this nation every day, morning and evening in my devotionals. And I'm hoping others will do the same.
Yeah.
But at any rate,
we live in the greatest nation on earth.
We do. Yeah. We do. And so God's going to restore it.
Right. And if for people to be complaining that this isn't the greatest nation on earth, then
we got a list of other places.
Go somewhere else if you're going to want to get back in the U.S.
We got a list of places we can recommend.
Yeah.
God bless.
Have
See
a good day,
week.
Everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.